Praise the Lord. Well, good evening again, everybody. Filling in again for Sam and Dina. Prayfully, next week they're back. Prayfully, I think they'll be back next week as they continue to lead us through Joshua. So chapter 10. So if you haven't read up, caught up, right? I'll give you guys a little hint right now. Go ahead and read the first 10 chapters of Joshua by next week, and you'll be ready. But so prayfully next week. They're back, and they'll continue to lead us and guide us through that book. So today, it is my honor to share with you guys. And a couple weeks ago, I shared with you guys, and the topic was Then God Remembered. If you guys remember, if anybody was there the last couple weeks, or all those who listen worldwide, if you guys remember, then we talked about Then God Remembered. Or some people in their translations, it'll say, but God remembered. And we talked about Noah. And just real briefly, just a quick summary, in case you weren't there. When you hear the word, then God remembered, it doesn't mean that God forgot. Right? It doesn't mean, you know, we spoke last week about Noah, that he was in the boat during the flood. And it doesn't mean that God was busy doing something and all of a sudden he said, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a boat floating in the water and I got to go back and help him. Right. So we learned that it doesn't mean that God forgot when you hear those words, then God remembered. But to remember means that to act on the person's behalf or to fulfill a promise. Right. So when we hear the words God, then God remembered, it's a promise that he had made. It's a promise that he had given. A promise that he spoke, and he's fulfilling and he's acting on that promise, right? And so we talked about a couple of weeks ago was God remembering the Israelites. If those of you remember, it was in Exodus 2:24 where it said, so God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, right? So we see that phrase in there that says, and God remembered, right? And in that story, just real briefly, in that story, we see that the Israelites are becoming slaves in Egypt, right? Joseph had passed away and another king showed up and they forgot about Joseph. He didn't know about Joseph and they were afraid that they were multiplying. And so they put taskmasters over them. Bottom line, they became slaves in Egypt, right? They made it tough on them. Right. So it says that when God heard their groaning, and it says God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when we hear he remembered his covenant, he remembered his promise. Right. God remembered the promise that he made with Abraham years and years back. Right. At the end of Genesis chapter, at the end of the book of Genesis in chapter 50, right, we learn about the life of Joseph. Right, and it ends, the story ends with Joseph. And at the end, when he's about to die, he tells the Israelites, he tells his family, he says, God will surely visit you. This is in Genesis 50:24. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Right? So he's telling them, God's going to move. God's going to bring you out of this land. Right? He says, he's going to bring you out of the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So much so that he says, when I die and I'm buried, when you leave from this place, carry up my bones and take them with you. Right? So he was standing on the promise of God. Right? He was standing. He knew that there was a promise and a blessing to Abraham, right, to become a great nation. And he knew that message. He knew that promise. And he was standing in the promise even till his death, and even after his death, he says, when this promise happens, right, take my bones with you, right? So last time we talked about God remembering he was acting upon his promise. And for us, what that meant was remembering the promise that God has for us. So real quickly, or not real quickly, if we take the rest of the hour doing this, that's fine. I don't care, right? But what are some promises? I want to hear you guys say some promises. And maybe you have a couple of you, right, if you know them, right? What are some promises that the Word of God speaks over our life that encourage you? Want me to go first? I'll go first, right? In Psalm 27:1, right? It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Right? That's something for me that encourages me. That's a promise of God that He is my light. He is my salvation, my strength, my shield, right? So when things come against me, right? When problems arise, I am encouraged that He is my protector. Anybody else?
How about when I see a rainbow? That's a promise. It
It
makes
is.
me happy when I see a rainbow because he said that whenever you see a rainbow, that's giving us something that he promised, something about the water.
Yes. In the
Am
end
I
of
going the right direction?
yes, in the end of Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, actually we talked about God remembering Noah, but after the flood, right? God says this is a sign, right, that I will never destroy the earth by water. Right. So when you see the rainbow, when you see this is a promise that this will not happen again, which was the flood. Right? So yeah. So when you see the rainbow, remember this is God's promise. Anybody else?
The Lord is my shepherd. What shall I want?
Amen.
It's a green pasture taking care of me.
Amen.
What about I'll never leave you nor forsake you?
Amen.
You shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen. Right? All these promises, right, that we see and we hear, right? These promises that we know, or even if we're really looking them up, right? You're going through something, look up, right? What does the Lord have to say about this area? And you'll find a promise. But all these promises are to keep us, right? Keep us encouraged, keep us focused on the Lord, right? From not giving up. Last time we talked about feeling forgotten, from not feeling forgotten, but it's the promises that encourages. Joseph stood on the promise of that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Like I said, so much so that he said, "Carry my bones," right? When you leave from here, I know for a fact you're gonna leave from here. God is gonna visit you and he's gonna move you from here. I know it, I believe it. And carry my bones, right? So we stand on the promise. This promise, right, that he was standing on was made to Abraham. And way back in Genesis chapter 12, we start to learn about Abraham, where God calls him to leave his land and he calls him to move. And we start seeing this progression of Abraham and his life. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a story in Abraham's life where we see once again that God remembered, in this case, God remembered Abraham. Amen. What I'm going to try to do is we're going to try to go backwards. All right, so everybody turn your chair. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. All right. But we're going to go backwards. We're going to start off in Genesis chapter 19. And I'm just going to read verse 29. Okay. And it says this, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Okay, so we're going to start off with what in this story, or what I'm trying to share in this story, is the final result of what happened here. Right, we see that God, it says, God remembered Abraham. Right, and he sent Lot out of the midst. In other words, he pulled Lot out of this area. Okay, it says, you remember when he overthrew the cities of that Lot had dwelt, when he destroyed the cities. Okay, now first of all, just real briefly, who was Lot? Does anybody know who Lot was?
The brother of Abraham? Cousin? No.
He was the son of his brother, so that was his nephew, right?
Matthew.
Lot was his nephew. And
Yeah.
in Genesis 12, when God calls Abraham to leave his land, it says that he took his wife, and then it says that his nephew came along for the ride.
Yeah, Matthew.
His nephew Lot came along. So Lot was Abraham's nephew. And like I said, in Genesis chapter 12 is where the story starts, and you start to learn about these characters. And it says that he came along with Abraham, right? Eventually, over the course of time, it says that they split up, right? Their possessions, it says, became too many, right? And there was fighting between the herdsmen, right? Because so they end up splitting up, right? Abraham tells Lot, pick where you want to go. Right? Lot looked up and he saw a nice land that was watered, right? And he says, I'm going that way, right? And the Bible tells us that Lot ended up pitching his tents as far as Sodom, okay? So he saw the nice land, and that's another message in itself right there. But I'm just trying to introduce who Lot was. But it says that Lot ended up in this place as far, it says, as far as Sodom, and it says Abraham went the other way. He told them, you pick a way, and I'll go the other way, right? So they split up. They go one way. And then Genesis 13:13, after Lot picks his spot and he goes a certain way, in Genesis 13:13, it tells us, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord, right? And a lot of us know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is what we're going to kind of talk about today. But it introduces them right there. It says, and the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord, it says, right? So where Lot went, right, and Lot gets into some trouble. Also, he gets kidnapped, taken away. That's another story, right? Read the story. It's a good story. I recommend it, guys, right? I give it 2 thumbs up, right? But we see here that Lot ends up in these areas, in these lands, and we see he's living, he's pitching his tent as far as Sodom, okay? Excuse me. So we see the finale here. The finale was God rescued Lot, right? It says God remembered in Genesis chapter 19. It says God remembered Abraham, and then he pulled Lot away. He rescued him, right? So why did God remember Abraham and rescue Lot? And I'm glad you asked. Right? Great question, whoever that was. Hey, there you go. But we see that God remembered again. Right, we'll say that word a lot. But we see in Genesis chapter 18, and if you guys have your Bibles, now we can turn to Genesis chapter 18, and we'll kind of follow along. We won't read it all the way through, but Genesis 18 is where most of the story is. I'm giving everybody a second to turn to it. Old school. Genesis chapter 18, right? It tells us that Abraham.
You said verse 1?
Yes. Okay, yeah, we can start at verse 1. But at verse 1, it starts, and we'll jump around a little bit in this chapter, but the story here is in Genesis 18. But it says that in Genesis 18, it says that the Lord appeared to Abraham, right? I'm kind of paraphrasing. It says that the Lord appears in verse 2, it says that he looked up, and he saw three men standing there, okay? So we see this story. It starts off by Abraham being visited by God, right? And as we see, as we jump down and we read in this story, right, as you go down to verse 16, we see that the Lord and Abraham are having a conversation in verse 16. And we see that in verse 20, the Lord tells Abraham, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, right? So he tells them, as they're having this conversation, right? We know already, chapter 19, that the whole land, everything got destroyed, right? And then we learn when Lot left and they split up, he went as far as Sodom. And it says that they were wicked, right? They were evil and they sinned against the Lord, right? So it shows what kind of culture was there, what kind of people were there, what the climate was there, whatever you want to call it, right? What their attitudes, their actions were. They were sinning against the Lord, it says, right? And then we get to chapter 18, verse 20, when the Lord is with Abraham and they're having this conversation. He says, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, right? And later on, the next verse, he says, I'm going to go down and see for myself, see if it's so. But he's telling them right there that because of this, right? Once again, we just talked about the flood, which was judgment because there was wickedness in the land, right? Now again, we see judgment is coming because of the wickedness of the land and of this people, right? So we see here that Abraham is having this conversation with the Lord, okay? So I'm going to ask you guys a question here, right? It's honesty time, guys, okay? Honesty time, right? Pinkies, no, I'm kidding, right? But he just heard, Abraham just heard this report. Abraham just heard this news. There's going to be judgment on the land, right? Because of this, because they're bad. Let's just say they're bad or they're evil, right? Because of this, there's going to be judgment on the land, right? So the question is, right, what is our reaction? Are you guys ready? What is our reaction when we hear someone is about to get in trouble at work or at home or whatever, or what was, or a friend, as Pastor Al, right, on Tuesdays? A friend. What is your friend's reaction when you know they're about to get in trouble, right?
Worriness.
What was that? I'm sorry?
Worry,
okay. All right. That's
the reaction. If or someone would tell me, Sandra, you're in big trouble. My reaction, I will say, I will get worried, or you know.
So how about if you were the one who heard the news about somebody else?
Sad. For them, yes.
Man, you guys are awesome, because you know what was on my list at first? Right? Sometimes we may think that's what they get. Come on. I was saying honesty time, guys. Who stopped that one? Just me? Man, let me turn it off.
Well, it all depends if he's your friend or your enemy. If you don't like him, it's okay. Right?
No, hey, you know what? So, like, just so you know, I'm gonna read the three things I put on my list, just for examples. What are sometimes our reactions? That's what they get, right? Glad it's not me. How about that one? Anybody ever thought that one?
Yeah.
Glad it's not me, right? What?
Yeah.
Hey, did you know so and so? This is happening, right? I escaped that one, right? And then the third one I put is maybe it depends on who it is. Right? Who do we find out that there's something wrong happening that's going to happen, right? And if we're their friends and if we're close to them, we're going to go and try to warn them, try to go help them. And if they're not our friends, right, then we're going to be like, well, you know what? Okay, right? These are reactions that we may have had, right? I'm going to say we have had, right? They're not reactions that we have now, right? Right? Anybody? Right? But these are reactions that may have happened. These are reactions that when you hear it, right, they come to us. But Abraham heard this news, excuse me, and he heard what was about to happen. And as we continue following along in Genesis 18, I know we're not reading verse by verse, but when we get down to verse 23, if you have it, and you look down in verse 23, Abraham says, would you just destroy the righteous with the wicked? Right? He asked God a question. And what we see is about to start happening. We see Abraham begin to intercede. Right? He's beginning to intercede, right, on behalf of the people. His nephew lives over there. He knows his nephew lives over there. But he's beginning to intercede. He just heard of an impending doom. Right? This is something bad is about to happen. Right. So he starts to say, he didn't say, God, okay, well, I'll stand with you and whatever you got to do, do it. Right. Or whatever, you know, we're up here and they're down there. But he starts to have this dialogue with the Lord. Right. He starts to intercede with the Lord. And he starts off by saying, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he begins this conversation. He starts asking them, what if you find 50 righteous people in there? Right. Would you destroy them for the sake of 50? Right. And the Lord says, no. And they continue this kind of this back and forth. It almost sounds like a negotiation, but it's not. If as you read it, you'll see, obviously, and you'll see more importantly, that when Abraham's talking to the Lord, it's with reverence as well. We got to always remember this. It's with reverence when he's talking to the Lord. But he's starting to intercede. He said, would you do it for 50? And as you read the story, he goes from 50 down to 45 and then eventually to 30. And then eventually he ends up all the way down to 10. And he says, Lord, for 10 people, right? If you find 10 righteous, will you still do it? And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of them. So we see that when Abraham heard this story, heard this news, he started to intercede, right? And to intercede, does anybody know what intercede means?
Trying to get involved.
Trying to get involved? Okay.
Yeah.
Intercede is to intervene, right, on somebody's behalf, right? On behalf of another person, right? Or to stand in the gap for that person, right? So in other words, you're praying for somebody, right? I'm interceding for this person. I'm praying for them, right? Lord, and whatever the prayer may be, right? But we see here in another example in Exodus chapter 32, if you guys know the story about when the Israelites do the golden calf because Moses is taking too long, right? But it tells us in that story that God was ready to destroy them, right? He tells Moses, hey, get out of my way. I don't know if he shoved them like this, but he said, hey, get out of my way, right? And he tells Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to make, let me destroy them. Let my wrath consume them, and I'm going to make you a great nation. So listen to what's being said here. Let me destroy them. They're rebelling against me, right? But you, Moses, are on my side, and with you, I'm going to make you a great nation. Some of us, depending on where we're at, what kind of day we're having, we'll be like, all right, Lord, I guess, you know, let's start all over with me, right? Some of us, maybe not us, right? But some people, our friends or somebody, right, may think, okay, that's great news, right? I escaped this one, and you're going to make a great nation of me. This is what he told Moses. He told him, move out of my way. Let me consume them, and I'm going to make you a great nation. So in other words, he's saying, I'm going to get rid of them, and we're going to keep this promise going with you, right? But instead of Moses saying, sounds good to me, or whatever you want to do, Lord, right? The Bible tells us in Exodus 32 that Moses, right, interceded for the people. He began to pray to the Lord, right? He starts to tell the Lord about his promise. Not that the Lord forgot, like I said before, he doesn't forget, right? And this is why it's good for us to speak the promises of God, right? We speak them out. But he said, Lord, how this cannot be. He intercedes, he prays for him. And it tells us at the end of the story, it says, at the end of this story, it says, so the Lord relented. Moses was let known of this doom that was about to happen. The Lord shared that with Moses. The Lord shared the news with Abraham, right? The Lord shared what was about to happen, right? So when we hear God remembered Abraham and rescued Lot, we see that one of the reasons that God remembered was because of Abraham's intercession. Abraham interceded, right, for the people, for his family. But we see here that Abraham, instead of saying, I'm out, I'm going to take a step back, it's not me, right, he took a step forward, and he stood in the gap for the people. He stood in the gap for his family, right? He stood in the gap just the same way with us, right? We hear that there's impending doom. We know, right, what the Bible tells us about the end. And this is why in our hearts, right, we should feel compelled to share the good news to the people, right? This is why in our hearts we should feel compelled to tell people, listen, there's a Savior in your life. Listen, repent of your sins. Listen, right? God has a plan for your life. This is why, because we know of what's coming, right? The Lord has shared with us through his word, right, of what's coming, right? And this is why, right, we need to share this good news. This is why we need to share the love of God. This is why we need to be that example, right? This is why it should, as I said, compel us to take that step to intercede for one another. To intercede for the lost, right? To intercede. You guys hear a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, that we heard there was a hurricane coming, right? We heard of a hurricane coming, and it was going to hit home, right? It was going to hit home. It was going to be close to home, right? So the minute we hear it's close, what happens to us when it hits home, Right? What happens to us when it started, when things are a little more real in our life? Right? Maybe you'd step it up. We take it a little more serious. You know what I did? I went outside, and we have some outdoor umbrellas. I closed them all up. I put them away. Right? We have a small tree. I got a rope and I tied it around. Right? I was waiting for these big winds. Right? That thankfully didn't happen. Right? But they were saying, hey, this is happening. And when we found out, when I found out that it was going to affect my home, right? When it was going to affect my home, I said, uh-oh, we better go and take some action, right? And put some stuff away, right? I better clean, I better move this, I better do this. So I took the action because it was going to affect my home. So with that said, what does that do to us when we hear, right, of these, of this news? What does that do to us when we hear of this, what may be coming, right? It should lead us to pray, right? To intercede for others, right? To not be like, okay, I got, we talked about Noah last time. Okay, I'm on the boat and we're good, right? But our heart should be for others. Amen. Love the Lord your God above everything with all your heart, all your strength, and love your neighbor. Amen. The two greatest commands. Love God, love your neighbor, love others, right? We pray for others. We stand in the gap. We have family members. We have neighbors. We have a community, right? We have many to pray for, many to reach out to, right? Abraham and Moses, they heard of this impending doom that was about to happen, and they saw that something bad was about to happen, and instead of saying, I step back and do what you got to do, right? They took the step, and they stood in that gap, right? They stood in the gap, right? And they try to make that connection, bring that connection back, right? To say, no, Lord, right? Have mercy, right? We pray for them, right? Let there be a change, right? If it's somebody out there that's lost, let there be a change. Let them, right? Repent. Let them, right? The prodigal son, he got to a place where he remembered, right? At my father's house, it's way better. Even the servants have it better. So he returned, right? There's people that are out there that are lost, that are bound, that are addicted, that are hurting, that are confused, that are discouraged, that are lied to, right? So many lies for us to lift them up in prayer and pray for them and stand in the gap, right? So that they may also receive God's goodness. Amen? But we see here with God remembering Abraham because he interceded. As I said, we're going to work a little bit backwards here. We saw the ending. We saw this conversation between God and Abraham. We saw that Abraham interceded. But I'd like to take it a little, another step, maybe a little step deeper. And in Genesis, if anybody has Genesis 18 open, can somebody read verse 19, please?
I have chosen him in order that he may command his sons and his descendants to obey me, and to do what is right and just. If they do, I will do everything for him that I have promised.
Amen. It says, I have chosen him, right? Some of you may see on mine, it says, for I have known him. Okay. So when we see this conversation start, pretty much what the Lord says is, should I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, right? Paraphrase. And he says, should I keep from him what I'm about to do? But it says, because I have chosen him, or because I have known him, and he's going to command these people, right? In other words, because I have known him, I'm going to let him in on this, right? I'm going to let him in. This is where he tells them about what's going to happen. And as we read in Genesis through the life of Abraham, we learn of this relationship that he has with God, right? And we're going to learn as you read the story, or you're going to learn as you read the story of Abraham, when you do, if you haven't. But if you do, you're going to learn that he wasn't perfect. He makes mistakes, right? He makes mistakes. He goes the wrong way when he's told to go one way, right? So he makes mistakes. But yet, he was called, he was chosen, right, to be the father of many nations through him, through his descendants, right? His family, through his family, the Lord's going to bless him. And because of them, the rest of the families, the rest of the world is going to be blessed through him, right? I'm going to multiply your seed. I'm going to give you this promised land, right? All this to Abraham, right? All this because the Lord says, for I have known him, right? Or I have chosen him, right? Isaiah 41:8 tells us, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Isn't that an awesome title right there? Of Abraham, my friend, right? That's such a cool title, right? Man after God's own heart. That was for David, right? But right here it says the descendants, he signed Israel, I have chosen, right? But you are my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, right? So as we see and we learn in Genesis, his story, the story of Abraham and how his family grows and it becomes the tribe of Israel, right? And they go, and we're learning right now in Joshua, this is that's from that promise. This is his seed, right? That now they're entering into the promised land, as we've been learning through the Psalm and Dina, right? They've been telling us, this is that promise. This is that promised land, right? In Genesis chapter 12, it starts, right? But he's in Isaiah 41, it says, Abraham, my friend. This is a great title for Abraham. And we may think Abraham has this great title. That is awesome for him, right? And we may think one day I'll get there. Does anybody think that? One day I'll get there. One day we'll get to that point. What do you guys think? Do you think one day you'll get there, or do you think I'm there already?
We are there.
We are there. Yeah. Right?
We are there.
He is our friend. John 15:15. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. And then Jesus says, but I have called you friends. He calls us his friends. He calls us his friends. And it talks, and it's a picture of a relationship we have with the Lord. Amen. It's a picture of this relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, a relationship that we have with his word, a relationship that we have with him. Amen. It shows of this relationship. He calls us friends, right? A servant does something out of duty, right? A friend does it out of love, right? And Jesus is saying, no longer am I calling you servants, but I am calling you friends, right? We are his friend, right? So we see Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, and it's a great title. And we think, wow, one day, man, maybe I get there. One day, but no, as Brother Edwin told us, we are there, right? We are his friends. And so I say that because sometimes not believing or not knowing that we are his friends, that we have this relationship, that we have access, right? Not knowing that we have all this keeps us or makes us think, right, that I can't do these things. I can't pray for somebody. I can't stand in the gap. I can't, right, X, Y, Z, you name it, right? And it holds us back, but we need to know and understand and learn that Jesus right now, this evening, what time, 7:40 on August, yes, something, almost the end of August, right? He calls us friends, amen? He calls you his friend. He wants to build, and if you're starting a relationship with the Lord, he calls you friend. If you've been with the Lord for 20 years, 30 years, whatever long, he calls you his friend, right? So don't let that hold you back. Don't let it think, oh, I can't get there. I can't. No, you are his friend now. He calls you friend, and we build on our relationship. Amen. Abraham had that relationship with the Lord. He was able to speak to the Lord and intercede, right? Stand in the gap for others, right? Because he knows he has access, right? We have access. Boldly, we can enter in to the throne of grace because of Jesus, right? The Bible tells us so many promises about Jesus now giving us access to the Father, right? When it talks about the veil being torn in two, we now have access into the Holy of Holies, right? And there's nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing that separates us from the love of God, right? There's nothing that can come our way that separates us from His love. So understand that we are loved, that we are His friends, we are chosen, we are called before we were in the mother's womb. Right before we were in the womb, He knew us. He set us apart. He called us to be a prophet to the nations. Amen. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Right. And we need to know these things, believe these things. Don't allow that to hold us back. God remembered Abraham because that was His friend. There was a promise He made to His friend. Right. And because of His friend, He acted on that promise, right? It was because God has called us. And because God has called us, right? He is not going to leave us or He's not going to forsake us, right? God remembers us once again because we are chosen and because we are His friends. Amen? What time is it? We'll stop right there. If anybody has any questions or anything they'd like to add?
I think one of the things that would help us to really grasp a hold of that as us being the friends of God is the fact that it's, because sometimes when I look at a friendship, I'd say I have a part to do with this. And based on how good this friendship is it's based on what I've done or what I do to participate in it. But with God, it's completely different. It's based on what He did on the cross. And so we lean more on the work of God rather than my own work to be included in this friendship. So it's just.
Amen. In Genesis chapter 12, it starts off with, and God called Abraham. That's what God did. He didn't say God looked at Abraham and how awesome he was or all this. It says God chose him.
What are some practical things, Pastor Mike, to go from? Because if I heard you correctly, you were saying that we're no longer servants. But in John 15, He calls us friends. So positionally, my position now is I'm His friend. But as far as my day-to-day experience with God, it may take me a minute to work through some things and like begin to apply that and actually put that into practice. What are some practical things to help to transition from it being information to real life?
So, I mean, we were talking about earlier before it started about one of the things that I'm thinking of is we talked about how we wake up and now, you know, we're joking around that sometimes I wake up and I say, oh no, I'm late. But sometimes as a servant, you're waiting for permission to do something. Or you're waiting. I know even my children, you know, sometimes they wait for permission and then it grows. As our life changed and the grace of the Lord has moved in our life, my children now know they have access to do as they please, to open the fridge, they have access. Whereas before it was like, hey, you better ask for permission, right? So knowing this, right, thanking the Lord for it, waking up and having this communication, this daily talk with the Lord, this daily communication as a normal friend, I think is a practical thing to help us try to make that transition. You know, we've had, and depending on our upbringing, you know, I know for me, there was an upbringing of a list of do's and don'ts, and you kind of got to earn these things to get to this place, you know, but knowing that you're accepted no matter what, and knowing you're accepted and you're not rejected, right? You're approved, you're loved, right? Knowing all these things through the Word of God, you know, through meetings like this, through others in your life, knowing these things help break down those walls. Is there any other questions or any other thoughts? Praise God. Amen. Well, thank you guys once again, Brother Edwin. If you don't mind closing us up in prayer.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence and this meeting, because you are with us at this time, because your word is the one that is keeping us alive. Because of your presence and because we accept you, Lord, in our hearts. Our God, see us as you, because you took everything that we are the sinners, and you took all the sins for us, Lord. And as we go into the presence of God, he sees us as your son, as you, Jesus, acknowledging that you are our friend, that you are our provider, that you are the present, your presence in every single situation in our lives. We have to remind that you are by our side in any circumstance. In every single decision that we go and take in this life, we know that you are with us. And the first thing to do is acknowledge you, your presence in our hearts, because the word that you are giving us to the Bible and the scriptures, it just sitting into our hearts as it's scripted like heart, it is there. And we thank you for that, because you make us one of yours, and you said that we are priests. We are the priests. We are the kings because of you, Lord. And we have to acknowledge that, cutting our heads, that you are with us, that your presence is with us every single time. And allow us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, to partake the word with the rest of the people who are in need of that. Make us, use us, Lord, for increase the kingdom, your kingdom, that every single one of us, of the people around us, will be safe. And thank you for giving us this challenge to get to know others through the word. And I give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory for who you are. Thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 Everybody have a good night. Be blessed.
Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bless you all.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Good night.